Welcome to today's edition of Feet to the Fire, where we're always challenging the status quo. For more cutting-edge commentary, go to feettothefire.org. That is feet, the number two, thefire.org. And now your host.
A ton to do today, and I'm going to go as fast and efficient as possible. Welcome to Friday Follies on Feet to the Fire with your host, Sergio Fassa. Insane things in the news. Didn't get to this yesterday. We were talking about the fact that there's mounting evidence, obviously, that COVID came right out of a Wuhan lab and was not only, we know that was funded by American dollars through Dr. Anthony Fauci and his bureaucracy in the federal government, funneled through leftist organizations and out over to Wuhan to pay for gain-of-function research that allowed for the development of COVID-19 that was then unleashed on the world. Another article indicting Anthony Fauci from Breitbart. NIH erases website's section on gain-of-function amid Fauci fallout. The National Institutes of Health this month subtly erased its section on gain-of-function from its website following months of Dr. Anthony Fauci falsely denying that the organization funded such research. So Fauci says, no, we didn't fund gain-of-function research that led to the COVID-19 outbreak. Well, of course we didn't. Of course we didn't. Now, there's reports coming out that they did, and all of a sudden, conveniently, on the NIH website, any mention of gain-of-function research is wiped off and cleaned out. Rand Paul tweeted, Fauci's latest win involves the NIH eliminating gain-of-function definition from their website. This is just, again, just lousy bureaucrats acting like run-of-the-mill criminals covering up their tracks. Okay, keep going. New York Post, I'm sure you've seen this. Man punches woman who told him to take a chill pill on the subway. And this has been a viral video going around. You watch this guy punch a lady right in the face because there was a back and forth altercation. And no one does anything. That's the conspicuous part. No one gets filmed and no one does a thing to defend this woman or to fight back. You know, and this lines up with what I've been talking about this week. When you take away Christian morality and Christian sexual boundaries and restraint and take away the traditional view of roles between men and women, men as leaders, and the idea of chivalry and esteeming women as valued in society and as precious and as pure, when you get rid of all that, there's no longer any restraint on men or masculinity. And as I said over through the course of this week, they're not going to abide some fanciful, arbitrary notion of, ooh, gender equality and modern feminism and sexual independence. They're just going to become abusive. As I've said numerous times, you will always have patriarchy. Because men are the dominant, physically dominant gender. What kind of patriarchy do you want? A Christian patriarchy restrains man's evil impulses with Christian guardrails. You take those away, and as I said, you're going to have a monstrous patriarchy, an abusive one that leads to everything we're seeing now, excessive rape and dominance and abuse. And now guys punching women on a subway, and nobody does anything about it because we've devalued women. We've taken away traditional roles and traditional value assigned to each gender in its specific sphere. Women want equality, so now they're being treated like equals by men, and men have no concern for slugging a woman. Okay, let's keep going. I've harped on that all week. I hope it makes sense. But to isolate the point even further, NBC Philadelphia. No one did anything. A woman who was raped on a SEPTA train, I think that's an elevated train, woman raped on a train and riders didn't call 911, police say. This was from about a week or two ago. Is this unreal? A woman was raped Wednesday night, I think last week or the week before, on a Market Frankford elevated train while other riders looked on and did not call 911. The police department superintendent said the assault was captured on surveillance video and he was shocked after watching the footage that showed other riders on the train at the time who did not stop the attack or call police. Well, because that's what I've been talking about. Because we've devalued women with feminism and the sexual revolution and there's no more care about defending women. Everybody's equal, right? So take care of yourself, woman getting raped. It's unbelievable. Okay. How about this from CBN? I'm sure you've seen it. Twix trans princess boy Halloween ad pushes not so subtle message, handle intolerance with violence. So there's a new ad from Twix showing a boy dressed in a princess outfit and his new nanny comes over and it's a witch. And when he gets made fun of for being a boy dressed like a girl, then the nanny witch gets angry and I guess kills the bully kid or sends him far, far away with a whirlwind and he disappears. So here's how you stand up to a bully. Kill him. Use violence. And we're celebrating with a candy boys dressing like girls, continuing the degradation of our Christian morality. All right, next, Fox News. Video of a Virginia mom confronting her local school board over pornographic materials has gone viral after she read aloud graphic texts and displayed the shocking images in question. I think this school board meeting might have been in September, but this video is going around. The mom, I don't have her name. I think her last name is Langton. Sure enough, Langton was able to check out the two books. She had seen other parents protest, so she went to her kids' school library to check out these books, and the books are Lawn Boy by Jonathan Evison and Genderqueer, a memoir by Maya Kobabi. Apparently, these are really popular books. You could probably find them at your own local library and probably in your kids' school, which is sick. That was at the Fairfax High School Library. Both of these books include pedophilia, Langton told the board, sex between men and boys. One book describes a fourth grade boy. If you don't want to hear any of the graphic stuff, you can shut the podcast off now. This is not for little ears. One book describes a fourth grade boy performing oral sex on an adult male. The other book has detailed illustrations of a man having sex with a boy. She actually read the content and it got bleeped out on regular media. The vulgarity describing these interactions. And I'll tell you what, I couldn't find the transcripts. I was going to read it, but it's probably better I didn't because it's so disgusting. Langton went on to hold up the graphic illustrations for the school board members to see and began reading excerpts from the books. Then school members interrupted the mother with one telling her, there are children in the audience here. That's the common sanctimonious, pious, self-righteous attitude of these board members now whenever they get confronted. Oh, there's children in the audience. Stop reading. It happened to my brother Warren Cosby last week or 2 weeks ago at the Toms River school board meeting when he read that pornographic content in Toms River, New Jersey at a school board meeting. All of a sudden, they care about the children. They're giving this to the children in their schools. And yet, we get chided when we read it and stick it right back in the board's faces publicly. Fairfax Times said these books she spoke about that night contain explicit pornographic content. In addition to the graphic language in the books, there are also illustrations, including fellatio, that's the technical term for oral sex on a man, sex toys, masturbation, and nudity. That's all those illustrations are in the book. Meanwhile, in other news, the Justice Department is threatening to federally prosecute parents who protest at board meetings, thanks to a memorandum from Attorney General Merrick Garland, who is a fool, when you listen to this guy talk. So just so you understand, CRT, critical race theory, transgender teaching, all under the guise of social emotional learning, SEL learning, that's just pro-transgender teaching. So you're not allowed to criticize transgender. All of that's being pushed in the schools, and our only outlet is what? The democratic process. Show up at the board meetings and protest it, viral videos, and make a big stink, and things get changed. The left knows that, so what do? They sick the federal government on the parents by threatening them with federal prosecution. That's what Merrick Garland did. He was before the Senate, I think this week, and was getting grilled by Republicans. Dallas News, John Cornyn said this, can you imagine the sort of intimidation, the sort of bullying impact that a memorandum... The sort of bullying impact that a memorandum from the Department of Justice would have and how that would chill the willingness of parents to exercise their rights under threat of federal prosecution. In other words, Cornyn's saying, do you realize that bringing the federal government into this, you're going to cause parents not to show up and have any part in their kids' education or protest anything? Do you realize that despotic, tyrannical effect on crushing any parental involvement in their education? Basically, it was Cornyn saying, to which Garland responded, in this pitiful, feeble old voice, as though he's just the victim being attacked by these merciless Republicans. He's playing that card constantly. He sounds like an old fool. And it's this quiet voice, and I'm not doing anything crazy. It's classic leftist. I'm the victim, I'm peaceful, I'm so kind. And meanwhile, he's a lunatic, stuck, rank and file ideologue in our government, pushing for government overreach to crush the democratic process and to overturn everything about our Republican system and our Christian moral system. That's who this guy is. And here's his response. The only thing this memorandum is about is violence and threats of violence. He literally sounds like that. And that's all he kept saying the entire time. The only thing this is about violence and threats of violence. In other words, oh, we're not doing anything to pursue, to threaten, to challenge, to go after parents. It's just about, you know, parents who care about education. He's lying. It's hypocrisy through and through. So Tom Cotton, this is from The Federalist, also a great Republican senator, Tom Cotton grilled the Biden appointee about his role in disseminating a memorandum derived from the NSBA letter demanding that the Biden administration use federal law enforcement and, quote, domestic terrorism laws to target parents. So this all started because of the guy in Loudoun County, I can't remember his name, Scott Smith or something like that, who protested at the Board of Ed meeting because his daughter was raped by a fluid male, transgender boy who wore a dress in a bathroom, and he gets arrested by the cops. Then the National School Board Association writes a letter calling any protesting parents based on that guy domestic terrorists. And then because of that, based on that statement from the NSBA, the Biden administration with Merrick Garland, the attorney general, the top law enforcement officer in the country, says we're going to sick the federal government and FBI, federal agencies, on any domestic terrorist parents who protest at board meetings. It was all built on a scam because that dad was right. It was rape. They shouldn't have arrested him. And I believe the National School Board Association actually rescinded its comments and apologized for calling him and other parents domestic terrorists. But no matter, Merrick Garland keeps pressing forward. And Cotton said this, what is the National Security Division judge? These are the people, by the way, that are supposed to be chasing jihadists and Chinese spies. Thank you. What does the National Security Division have to do with parents at school boards? Cotton asked. And of course, this is not again about parents at school boards. It's about threats of violence, Garland repeated. Unreal. Okay, let's close this out. Did you know there's a new PCUSA, Presbyterian Church of America, climate hymn? That's right. Called The Climate is Changing. This on October 27th, and it's to the tune of Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise. How disgusting that we've taken the hymn, the words of that great hymn, and changed them to The Climate is Changing, Creation Cries Out. Your people face flooding and fire and drought. We see the great heat waves and storms at their worst. We pray for the poor, Lord, for they suffer first. And notice the conspicuous thing. It's a climate hymn, and it ends with a statement on economics and poverty and social justice and the poor, because ultimately it always boils down to a battle over property rights. That's one of my biggest goals, is to let you guys understand that's what's motivating the left, the social justice, the CRT, Marxism. It's dissolving and abolishing property rights. They hate capitalism because in their minds, it represents Christian law, and in many ways it does. Property rights are peculiar to Christian biblical law. But all of a sudden you see the poor and justice in the lyrics to this climate hymn. We're out of time. Let justice roll down like waters, America, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Don't believe the hype out there. I don't know what to say. The left is completely out of control. Get your head out of the sand, pay close attention, and keep showing up to board meetings. Have a great weekend. Oh, and wait, I forgot the flamethrower award. That's got to go to Merrick Garland for chasing well-meaning, loving, caring parents instead of jihadists and spies. Thank you, Tom Cotton.